From Bradley University, this is Outside the Horseshoe. I'm Tanya Coombs. The Peoria City Council meets for the first time this evening since the passing of at-large Peoria City Councilman Gary Sandberg. Tonight's Outside the Horseshoe is to pay respects to the longest-serving councilman at the Horseshoe. Peoria Journal Star reporter Nick Vlahos and 1470 reporter Johnny King join me for the show. They constitute the Peoria City Hall Press Corps. We're also saying farewell to Johnny King tonight as he's covering his last Peoria City Council meeting before a move to the Northwest. Johnny King, Nick Vlahos, welcome to you both. Glad to have you on Outside the Horseshoe.
Thank you, Tanya.
Glad to be here, Tanya. Thank you.
Tonight's Peoria City Council meeting likely focuses on the loss, the death of the dean of the Peoria City Council, Gary Sandberg. He was the longest serving council member with 24 years in at the point of his death last week. It is my understanding that there may be some members of the Peoria City Council tonight wearing a bow tie in Councilman Sandberg's honor. It will be probably a little bit of a difficult council meeting, I do imagine.
I imagine it probably will be, too. I think, you know, whether or not you agreed with Gary on a lot of things, I think that the message that I got on Friday when I started talking to your council members was just, it's just hard to believe. And it really is hard to believe because he's always this larger-than-life persona and just almost indestructible. You never pictured the council without him, at least not in this way, you know. But it's still kind of hard. I fully expect to walk in there and see him tomorrow night, and I know he's not going to be there. It's going to take a little getting used to.
Yeah. We've been in the business long enough, and I've covered the cops beat long enough, and unfortunately, I was there by 2:30 that afternoon when the call first came in about 2:15, and I even mentioned when I was on the air with our staff live with it, I said, it's a sad day, and I haven't said that a lot. I mean, not because I didn't think it was sad, but I just thought, well, I'm letting my personal opinion come into that. And this is coming from a guy that rarely would speak to me as a media person and actually hadn't spoken to me for about 10 months because he got irritated with me over a story I did. And that was fine, but I still liked him a lot. But he was actually a very nice guy because the times I did spend out of the business while I lived in Peoria, I had two occasions to work with him with one of my bosses as an architect. Nicest guy in the world to work with. Very mellow, very nice. To add a little humor to this, I would like tonight, for maybe one of the agenda items that they can bring up again, all 11, or all 10, I should say, vote no, just in his honor.
He was regularly the lone no vote.
Dr. No.
Yes. Most of his colleagues have said, whether they agreed with him or not on policy matters and on the approach to policy matters, to a person they respected what he did.
Yes, I don't think you can deny his commitment to the city. I don't think you can deny the passion that he had for the city, too. Some people might say some of that passion was misplaced, but that happens. But that's the political differences aside. I think nobody can question Gary's commitment to good government, at least in the city.
And I fully agree with that. He loved Peoria. I believe he was born in Princeton, but he loved Peoria, spent much of his life here. And he always seemed to, and I think that was reflected in, especially when he became an at-large councilman, he always seemed to be the top vote-getter. He just seemed to reflect the common person. Mm-hmm. He knew that. He was smart enough to know. He was a savvy politician. And I'll relate a story maybe if we have a chance in a little while as to a reason that I can say that. But everybody appreciated his comments. Even if they didn't agree with him, they knew where he was coming from. And I even think his peers on the council who, there was a few of them that he would get into with on the floor, and even the mayors sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I think they all appreciated his candidness. And if he had a lie detector on him, he was telling the truth the whole time as he saw it.
I don't know if it's you can say he was the conscience of the city council or anything like that, but it seemed like, and getting this feeling from talking to a lot of the council people I talked to over the weekend, it's, you always thought twice whenever Gary said something. It made you step back and say, okay, is this the right move we're making here? Is this the right vote we're taking here? You always had to respect that, and you had to respect his intellect, too. He's a very smart guy, very intelligent guy. He always did his homework. You look at the big foofah about his residency in the last election,
and it looked like he was for first district council.
Looked like he was down for the count, and then he manages to convince a judge that indeed he was in the right about where he was living, and you almost kind of figured that in the back of your head all along that Gary might somehow prevail because he wouldn't just jump into something half cocked. I mean, he'd do his homework, and he was like I said, he had a great intellect as well.
Gary was not bashful about taking his shots. I would joke with Nick, since we sit up front, you know, especially lately, he'd take a lot of shots at the Peoria Journal Star and would say the paper and look directly at you or the Peoria Journal Star. And he wasn't bashful. And he was like that with his co-counsel people. He was like that with the staff. He was respectful for the most part. But again, Gary was Gary. Gary, a character. I mean, you know, if I think of one word to describe Gary, being a character. And here's the example that I think he was very smart. Whenever it came around, this is at large time, during election time, typically when it's the first filing day, you get a bunch of people there at the elections office, so you send a reporter there to see who files first, because a lot of people want to, and they want to be the first one on the ballot, especially for an at-large. Gary, always as an at-large, was the last one to file. And I remember your predecessor, John Sharp, and I hanging around at the office the last time you filed it at large, and it was 4:59:30, 30 seconds until Tom was going to close that office. He walks in and files, and he says, and he told us in an interview, I'd rather be the last one on the ballot. If you're not the first, I don't do early mornings well, but he says, if you're the last, you have a pretty good shot, too. The ones in between, sometimes people kind of get lost. And so he had everything planned out. And his plan was, he always went to Kelleher's with his petitions in hand and all the forms and had a brew or two, and then would walk from Kelleher's up to the elections office. And he had it timed out perfectly. And I said, why'd you walk? He says, because I've had a few brews. I don't want the police to stop me to delay me. So the man was brilliant.
Quintessential Gary right there. You know, this has not been a good year for Peoria characters, has
no.
it?
Right. People who are larger than life. And for the Peoria community, we've lost this year.
Lost too many. Mayor Maloof and Pete Van Aken and Royce Elliott and now Gary. I put Gary in the same league with those guys as far as just being a Peoria original.
Yes.
And this one's the shocker because, you know, in all reality, Jim Maloof and Pete Van Aken, they're up there in years, and their health wasn't real good. Royce had been in ill health, and Gary had some health problems a few years ago, but I looked at the last council meeting, I was looking at him, and he was as feisty as ever, and I thought, that Gary, and he rolls right along, but this was just a total shock to everybody.
Certainly unexpected. In fact, his friends, I think a number of people have said, you know, we just didn't see him around the last couple days. We hadn't heard from him. And it was a good friend who ended up going to check on him, to find him. We should all be as lucky to have good friends who know when we are missing him.
And one of his really good friends came out that afternoon while we as reporters were waiting. And we were already reporting on it.
Sure.
You can look at it. Was that a good idea at that time? But everybody pretty much knew, and we had pretty good sources. But the friend came up, because they had heard the radio reports, and came up, and I talked with him for quite a while that afternoon while we were still out there. And he said that he would regularly watch the baseball All-Star games with him. And that was that week. And Gary, big Yankee fan. In fact, I think he recently even took a trip to New York City to see the Yankees. Mm-hmm. He said he called him that afternoon and didn't get a return call, which he said, I didn't find that overly odd at the time. It was odd, but he must have been out of town, because Gary was known sometimes to get on that Harley Davidson he owned and just take off for a few days and nobody'd hear from him. So he didn't really think an awful lot about it. And then he said he went by his house on Wednesday night and the lights weren't on, and he was convinced that Gary was out of town and there wasn't a council meeting that week. And he didn't think too much of it, because there were times that Gary would just disappear for a while.
Sure.
It says a lot about the guy. He's an enigma in a lot of ways, but certainly somebody that you can't forget.
In many ways, a voice of reason in the council at times. But he'd sure be emphatic when he wanted to be. And I never will forget, and this is perfect for, you know, you at WCBU carrying the broadcast of the council meetings live, and then also them being on cable TV. You know, sometimes they'd put on a show, too. In all reality, some of them would. But he'd sit there, and if he made a point, and he had his little microphone there, and as soon as he was done with his point, do you ever notice how he just threw his microphone aside and just sat back in the chair and watched how everybody would react?
Yes.
Yeah. But he'd watch everybody to see how they'd react, and sometimes he'd smile.
Right.
It was great. What a character.
Got to be a little bit theatrical, the theatrical end of it, of politics. You can't overstate.
Sometimes the horseshoe can be nothing if not a little bit theatrical.
Yes.
Well, how does this, the loss of Gary Sandberg at the horseshoe, given that he had spent 24 years in a seat there, how does his absence change the policy or direction that council goes from here?
Well, certainly there's going to be a lot less institutional knowledge in the chamber now.
Absolutely.
That he's gone. I mean, he can remember when something happened in 1990 or when we debated this in 1993 and how it might relate
Or back further, because he was the first architect to be the director of
city Right. I mean, it's been such a long time, but people forget that he worked in the zoning department for, what, 10 years, I think it was?
Prior to being elected to council.
So, yeah, I mean, his history in Peoria government goes back to, you know, probably when I was, before I got into high school. And, you know, Ryan Spain said that, you know, I can't remember a city council without Gary Sandberg on it. He's 30 years old, you know.
Right.
It's that's going to be the, how the council adjusts to that is going to be interesting to see. I think they're going to be at a loss for at least a little while, because you could always say, you know, Gary remembered that or Gary remembered this, and now what do you have?
And after the district elections, the dynamic of the council, and all three of us could see it had changed a little. The new council seated, we haven't seen them enough yet, but I could already tell the dynamic changed. And there's, you know, there's obviously people for people and people against people politically as far as votes goes, and I really wasn't quite sure of that. But Gary will have a big impact. And then we find out, I don't know, I haven't even researched this, whether, and I'm assuming it'll be an appointment up until the at-large election or a special election can be. I haven't even researched the details. You might know better than I do right now, because I haven't even looked into it.
Sure. Well, certainly it will change things with the Peoria City Council. There was supposed to be, and I believe still is, an executive session planned for post-meeting tonight. However, they were not going to come back to take a vote. So this would be one of those executive sessions where we would all get to gather up and get to know each other a little better out in the lobby on the fourth floor. And I have been, it has been suggested to me that they may sit tight on some of the things that they were going to be discussing tonight in that executive session. What are you guys hearing? Anything toward that direction?
I suspect that you're not going to see anything too serious coming out of it tonight. It's just, it's still, I think they're reeling from the body blow at this point, and they just want to let that lie fallow and wait maybe until the first meeting of August before they tackle anything too big.
All I had found out from my sources, and I'm not saying they're correct sources at this point, but it was going to be a different subject than what the last one that we sat out in the hallway for quite a while. And there's not too many that I sit at those things, because usually we have information of what, not what they're about, but if anything big is going to happen. Mm-hmm. But this one, we pretty much all got word it could be something big, so we stayed. But this was going to be a little bit of a different subject is what I heard. But I think tonight will be more of a tribute night. There isn't a lot of riveting things on the agenda itself.
No.
They might keep it brief tonight, because everybody's got to be in shock. The staff, the city council, we are, obviously. It's going to be an interesting evening this evening.
Certainly, there is a shock value with the loss of Councilman Gary Sandberg, and people have to adjust to that, and the dynamic of the council has to adjust to that.
I thought Jim Artis said the best thing, the mayor. He was on our station on Saturday morning. Just by happenstance, he was promoting a running event in which he's a runner with, and the host asked him the first comment that Mayor Artis related was, he said, in quoting, "I woke up six times last night and thought I was coming out of a bad dream. I was so shocked." And I think that said it all.
You know, it's funny. I mean, most of the people I talked to, were, you know, they were kind of had the same reaction that the mayor did. But I talked to Pat Sullivan, who owns Kelleher's and was a really good friend of Gary's.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, you know, is this shocking to you? It's like, it is, but it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gary, he always told me that, you know, I could die at any time, because my dad died when he was like barely 50, and he had a bunch of cousins that died before they got to 50. So, you know, he was 65. He felt like he was playing with house money for the last 15 years.
In fact, he said that in an interview with the Peoria Journal Star, that he was on grace time. That's what he called it. He was on grace time.
He lived a full life, too. I mean, I love guys that live life to the fullest. He had the macaw. I used to bring it to meetings. I hear the bird is going to be well taken care of, because a lot of people have already offered to do so. I heard the bird was still up at the Bigelow residence, but was being taken care of, and he'd look in on it. But he lived life to the fullest. I mean, you know, 65, I believe, as I approach that range now, isn't old. You know, when I was 30, I thought it was old. But the life he lived was a full life, and that's, I think that's the way you want to live your life. So if you have to go that fast, you know, living a full life with gusto is the way to do it.
He's a real Renaissance guy. I think you could say that pretty fairly about him.
Certainly. He will be missed. He will be missed. Johnny, this is your final Outside the Horseshoe as you are wrapping up your tenure with WMBD 1470. It's been such an honor to get to work with you.
Well, thank you, you too, and you too, Nick. City Council, I think we've considered it over WMBD was that's the big, you know, news beat there, and I got to achieve that several years ago, and had a great time covering it. It never got dull.
It's the Peoria City Council, not going to be
That's
dull,
right.
Probably ever. Nope. Well, all right, so you will be doing your final Peoria City Council meeting tonight, and then you are moving to Washington State.
A long way away. As the crow flies, it's 2,115 miles to our new house from here. So that's a pretty far piece. People are wondering, for a kid that grew up in Chicago, spent virtually 95% of his media career downstate, why Northwest? What's going to happen there? Well, it's where my wife was born, and she's very familiar with it. So it's home to her. I'm taking her home.
And it might be a nice departure from the business. You have been in the broadcast business or around the broadcast business for about four decades now.
Yeah, I first got into it in 1971, my senior year in high school. Off and on, you know, bounced around the Chicago suburbs and even got into newspaper at first, but finished up in college at Western Illinois University and always seemed to stay on the I-74 belt. And, you know, the change to going to the Olympic Peninsula in Washington.